Welcome to the Grace Hill Podcast, a weekly podcast of our Sunday messages driven by our pastor, Michael Norman. Grace Hill exists to bring God's biblical truth to your everyday life. As we begin this week's message, we invite you to open your Bibles and capture what God has in store for you today.
Good morning, guys. Have you made your set of New Year's resolutions? Maybe it's a list, or maybe it is a set of goals. Maybe it is a list, and on that list is to lose weight. Isn't that the number one American goal, is to lose weight? Maybe it's to spend your money more wisely. Maybe your goal or one of your resolutions is to spend more time with your family, or maybe it's just to enjoy your life a little bit more. Or maybe, just maybe, you've been through the cycle over the years of optimism, of trying really hard, of faltering, of trying a little harder, and then getting discouraged or even distracted, and then totally giving up. Did you know that the majority of people who make New Year's resolutions are absolutely, completely done with those resolutions by mid-February? They've given up. They are totally done. They've thrown the list in the trash, and they have a little condemnation on the inside. You ever given up on a resolution before February? Anybody? Yeah. Or maybe that you're at the point now where you're saying, you know what? I don't even make New Year's resolutions. I'm done with that whole idea. But what if, guys, what if we started this year a little bit different? What if we approached 2017? What if we approached this new year in a completely different way than the past? What if we had simply, instead of a list of goals and a list of things and a list of resolutions, what if we simply had one prayer to start the new year? What if instead of having a list of New Year's resolutions, we simply had one prayer to where we asked God to lead us through a New Year's renewal? To where we approach this year simply with a prayer to the Lord of saying, Lord, I want this year to be a new year, a fresh start, a new beginning for my life. What if this year we simply prayed and we said, Lord, I want you to lead me and I want you to speak to me in one area of my life, and that in that one area I can work with you, God, and I can listen to you, God, and I can grow in you, God, and this one area would be an area of New Year's renewal for me. In fact, really, I think that our New Year's renewal should be one goal. That our New Year's prayer should be one thing, and this would be the kind of person I want to be, the one thing I want to be. And if you're taking notes today, I want you to write this down. To be a person fully devoted to Christ with my whole heart. That we have all these things we want to do, this list of things we want to accomplish. Maybe even we have life goals and this bucket list, and we're renewing that bucket list. But what if this year, instead of saying, Lord, bless me on my job, Lord, give me wisdom with my finances, Lord, help me to lose weight, be better with my time, spend my money more wisely, spend more time with family, enjoy life. Instead of those things, what if we simply said, Lord, I want you to renew me, and I want to be a person fully devoted to you. Guys, I love watching the Olympics. We just passed the Olympics, and I love particularly the running events, everything from the sprints to the distance. And I had the opportunity to run club soccer or club track from the time I was in fourth grade through high school, and had the opportunity to do well and learn some things. And in watching the Olympics, some of this was renewed as you're hearing the stories of some of the athletes, that they don't try to make giant gains in a single year. That they're on this plan, on this program, and they're saying, okay, if I can run this season 3 seconds faster than I ran last season, and they begin gearing their training to go just 3 seconds faster. And they're thinking, if I can run the middle aspect of this race just a little better, just a tiny fraction bit better in the middle portion of this race, then I can bring my time down this much. I can increase my speed by this much. And that at the end of this season, then I can re-gear another aspect of the race into where now in 4 years to when the next Olympic comes, that I can be running a certain time and be competitive among the elite of the world. It's a process and a plan and a program that they're on. And what if you and I, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we got on a growth plan? Not necessarily to run a race faster, but to grow closer to the Lord, to grow in our devotion to the Lord. What if every year we simply said, Lord, what is the one thing that this year I need to overcome? What is the one thing this year that I can do that to more clearly reflect your love to the world around me? What is the one thing that I can do to better live my life, to be more centered on Christ, to grow in devotion? What is the one thing this year that I can do to grow in devotion to the Lord? Now, as you read the scriptures, you can go through, and there are three Bible heroes, so to speak, that really inspired devotion to God. And if you go through scriptures, there's three that I want to point out today. The first one is David. David, in the midst of some painful trials, David went through persecution. David went through fleeing for his life. David went through some incredible trials to where he was in the desert for up to 10 years, literally running for his life. So how many of you that you have a bad day and you start complaining to the Lord? How about that David was fleeing for his life for up to 10 years through the desert, and he was mistreated, he was nearly killed, he was slandered, and yet this is the prayer that he prayed in Psalms 27. In fact, you can read it on your sheets or you can read it on the screen. David prayed this prayer. He said, the one thing, that's what we're talking about, the one thing that I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. It goes on in verse 8, and it says that my heart says of you to seek your face. He says the one thing that I seek would be to dwell in the house of the Lord. He's saying of all the things that I could pursue, of being king or being wealthy or being comfortable, he's saying that I would dwell with the Lord. Or what about there's Mary? Mary has the opportunity where Jesus is coming in town and her sister is doing all the work. And she has the opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus or to do culturally what she was supposed to do in that era and take care of all the preparations while the men sat in the other room. Culturally, that's what happened. But instead, she goes and she sits at the feet of Jesus, and she sits there and she listens and she learns and she's gleaning from him. And what we see is she's chided by her sister. Get up, help me. How many of you have any brothers or sisters and there's some sibling rivalry? You have that ever? How many of you know that the sibling rivalry, though you love them the most, it can be the most intense, arguing. Like those arguments with brothers or sisters, oh man, those go deep. And so you know her sister is like, come on, you lazy bum. I always do everything. You just sit around. I mean, you're always in my shadow. Get up and help. And instead, she chides her, but Jesus affirms her. And I want you to listen to this. This is really important for us today. He says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. I want you to capture that. There's few things in our life that are really needed. If we simplify down what in life we actually need to have, the things that we chase and we find so important, there's only a few things truly important. He says, indeed, there's only one. Can you say one with me this morning? And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. So here is this activity, this hustle and bustle going on, and Martha's getting everything ready, and Mary is just sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha's saying, Jesus, tell her to help me. And Jesus says, no, she's chosen what is better. And maybe today, as we're planning the new year and we're moving into our new year, and we're really, it's right, it's honest, we're in it, that maybe for us, some of us, we're choosing a lot of good stuff, stuff that would be not bad stuff. It's not sinful. It's not bad. It's not terrible. But we need to choose some better things. That we need to narrow down our priorities, narrow down all the noise of the day, and just say, Lord, the one thing I want is to grow in devotion to you. And here, what about Paul? Paul says this in Philippians 3:8. He said, what is more, I consider everything, the position he had, the education he had, which those things are incredible. Having influence in your city, having education, those things are good. He says, everything I had before, I consider it loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I would gain Christ. And the word garbage there can literally translate as, it's a cultural term, it would be like dung in the street. So really what he's saying is all these things that I found so important, this influence, this esteem, the position I had prior to Christ in the religious system of the day, he said, I literally compare it to what the donkeys who walking through the street leave that we have to sweep to the side so we don't step on it. And he says, I consider it garbage in comparison. And then he goes on and he expresses his life ambitions. He expresses his one desire, his life goals, his resolution for the year. Here's what he says. I don't consider myself that I've yet taken hold of it. But the one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And so here's what I want to say. In this year, the one thing I want to seek, the one thing I want us to seek, the one thing is the best thing, that we pursue God in our devotion to the Lord. Now, what does that look like for each of us? It may be a little different that one needs to grow in an area, another in a different area. But the one thing we do this year is seek the best thing in being devoted to the Lord. But how do we do that? How do we grow in our devotion to Christ and the one thing? How do we make real changes in our life that are expressed in our daily living and expresses a love for God? How do we overcome worry in our everyday life? How do we overcome anger in our everyday life? How do we overcome bitterness? How do we overcome lust? How do we overcome some of these things? How do we learn to pray without ceasing? How do we learn to love difficult people? How many of you have difficult people in your life? How do we learn to love difficult people when that is a part of what God calls us to do? He says, pray for those who curse you, bless those who persecute you. I want to punch them in the nose. I don't want to bless them. I mean, that's our emotion. And so how do we in the new year, how do we go from wanting to, and we may, you know, on the external, like, you know, keep it under control, but our internal is burning towards them. How do we learn to love those difficult people in our lives? How do we do that? It's not by trying harder, because we've done that. And that surely doesn't last, or normally it doesn't last. And if it does last in us, it often builds pride because we're saying, look how great I am. Look how strong I am today. So it's probably not by trying harder. So how do we do it? To make a real change or to make real progress or to make real growth in any area, the one way to do it is by training. So if you're talking physical competition, the one way to get better in physical competition is by training. The one way to grow in memory and by, you know, your math skills is by training. That when we were in school, they gave us the theory and you had to learn the theory and then you had to do problem after problem after problem after problem. The one way to grow and to make progress in any area is by training. And what if we looked at Jesus as the Lord, the one with the game plan, and we were working out with him? In fact, Paul says it this way in 1 Timothy 4:7. Paul says, train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. And so any part of any spiritual training program, any spiritual growth program, any program that we're starting this year to grow in the Lord, to grow in devotion, would have to include meditating on Scripture. Now, meditating is different than reading Scripture. You need to read the Scripture. We need to read it and go through it, but meditating is a little different than reading. Meditating is different than studying Scripture, to where you're trying to learn the background, the context, and all of that type stuff. So what meditating on Scripture is, this is that you're going to pray through God's Word, applying it to your struggles and applying it to your opportunities in life. So what does the Bible have to say about anger? So what does the Bible say? So you and your spouse are having harsh words to one another. You're having strong words to each other, bitter words. So what does the Bible say about that? In Proverbs 15, it says, a harsh word stirs up anger, but a soft answer turns away wrath. And so we say, Lord, in this relationship to where we have conflict and we have these arguments, help me to have a soft answer to turn away the wrath. Help me to have a soft response in this situation. What does the Bible say about fear? The Bible says perfect love, the love of God, it casts out all fear. And so we just begin to pray back to the Lord. Hey, Lord, I've got fear. I'm struggling. I'm so worried. I'm so fearful that this will happen. And Lord, I know that your love is in me, and I don't have a reason to be afraid, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And we pray that back to God. Does that make sense today? Meditating is different than reading, though we need to read. Meditating is different than studying, though we need to study. Meditating is praying back the Scriptures on that topic over our struggles and over our opportunities. Lord, do I step into this next season, this next phase that says that, Lord, you will guide me, that you will be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and I trust you that you're going to lead me into this next phase. That's any spiritual training program and in growth program for us. It has to include meditating on the Scripture. And I want to tell you that as we pause in our day, this is such a beautiful analogy. As we pause in our day and we meditate on Scripture and we're praying it back to the Lord, the analogy could be, it would be like a bee flying through the air, lands on the flower long enough to get the pollen, to get the things it needs. It ultimately goes back to the hive and it makes honey out of what it paused and brought back. And they began to produce the honey that was sweet. In fact, the Bible says this in Psalms 119. It says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than the honey of my mouth. So here's my prayer for you, and here's my prayer for me this season. Here's my prayer for us as we move forward. Lord, help me. Lord, help Grace Hill day by day to discover the sweetness of your Scriptures. And in it, and use it to live for the one thing of loving God and loving others as you have loved us. That we meditate on Scripture. That we know it and we pray it back to the Lord. In fact, I want you to go and begin to read some of the Scriptures daily. We'll produce starting next week what we're calling Grace Hill Reads, and it's a daily thing that you can follow and read a passage or read a chapter for the day, and it will be really helpful. But the one thing that as we go through, and you'll begin to see the promises of God over and over and over again. So we can do it. You can live fully devoted, but to do that, if you're taking notes, write this down, is that it's going to take God's grace. It's going to take God's grace. I want to ask a question here. How many of you in here, you feel like you've got serious weaknesses in your life? Come on, anybody in here? Absolutely. It's going to take God's grace to live fully devoted. You see, we experience God's grace at salvation. You experience his grace at salvation where we receive the opposite of what we've earned. We receive forgiveness. That if we were to go by justice or by law or something like that, that we would have to earn forgiveness. We'd have to earn salvation. And we'd be in this everyday struggle of balancing out the good and the bad. But grace came to us at salvation and gave us the opposite of what we needed. Instead of justice, it was forgiveness. But grace doesn't stop there at salvation. I want you to listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:10. This is a great, great verse for us to understand. It says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was with me." So here's what I want us to capture today. Grace is not only God's disposition or God's plan to do good for us when we don't deserve it. So in other words, we got forgiveness instead of justice. We got forgiveness instead of judgment. That it's not only, grace is not only that, to give us good when we don't deserve it. But it is also a power from God that acts and makes good things happen in us and for us. Let me say that again. It is an act of God, a power of God that acts and makes good things happen for us and happen in us. So God's grace was acting in Paul to help Paul work hard. Again, he's saying, "By the grace of God, I worked harder than any of them." So what happens then is when Paul says in Philippians 2:12-13, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So capture this, that we want to be fully devoted. We've got tons of flaws in our lives. None of us are perfect. We don't want to admit it, but in those quiet times, we know that we're flawed. That what we understand here is that the grace of God is a power from God to do good things in us and for us and ultimately through us as we continually live for him. And this grace that we're talking about is for our past. For the mistakes that we made, for the things that we did, either in defiance or in ignorance, and we ask for forgiveness, and that grace is for our past, but it is also for our future, for the things that we're coming up on in life, both in doing righteous things and avoiding sinful things, that grace is also for our future, for our every need. Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians 12:9. I love this. "And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me." What an incredible thing. He says that my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. So we're saying like, hey, I don't have the ability to not have a bad attitude. It's just who I am. And God is saying, hey, his grace is sufficient for us. I'm just a negative person. But God's grace is sufficient for us. That in our weaknesses, man, God's made strong, and therefore he can give us hope. And I'm not talking about, you know, everything in life's going to be lollipops and cotton candy. I'm talking that even in the difficult times, we can thank God for his goodness and his provision in our lives. It's this grace, is this waterfall of the past to the present, and it's this strength, this inexhaustible river and supply of grace for our future. It's covering our past, strengthening us for our future. We're going to need God's grace to be fully devoted, but this grace is sufficient for us day by day by day by day. So you don't think that you have the strength to be fully devoted, but God's grace. You don't think that you have the power to live for this one thing, but God's grace says you can. You don't think we have the power to overcome that kind of besetting thing that we feel such condemnation over. I can't stop looking at something on the internet. But God's grace says that you can. I can't forgive that person. I just can't. But God's grace says you can. And his grace is available for us today. It is available for us in Titus 2:11-12. I learned this verse as a young intern, as I interned at a church in Oak Cliff. And it's Titus 2:11-12. It says this: "For the grace of God has appeared, the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness, no to worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, that we can live for the one thing that matters. We can be fully devoted to Christ. We can live a holy life. We can be free. We can be unselfish. We can be joyful. We can be strong. We can be hopeful. We can be faith-filled and looking towards the future. We can, because the grace of God is available to us. And so as we start the new year, I want us to be full of encouragement, full of joy, knowing that His grace has come in the form of Christ, that we just celebrated His birth. His grace has come to us, and we can experience it and live in it day by day by day. And the proper response to the grace we experience in regards to our past is thankfulness and gratitude and worship. And the proper response to His grace that we're going to continue to experience and we know we'll experience, the proper response to that is faith and assurance and confidence. I don't believe that a Christian should ever be overwhelmed with insecurity. Because if you have a God who knows your name, if you have a God who knows every hair on your head, you have a God who knows your past and loves you anyway, and is taking you somewhere to a preferred future, if you know a God who has forgiven you and loves you, that we should have assurance, because if He's been faithful in the past, He'll be faithful in the future. That in the hiring process, they do background checks on you. They do assessments on you. At one time, I had to go through an 8-hour assessment process where they ask you and grill you all these questions. You go 4 hours, a 1-hour lunch break, you come back and they grill you for four more hours, asking you all kinds of questions in different ways. And what they were saying is they do this because they believe that the past actions are the best predictor of future actions, or the best indicators of future actions. And if that's the case, God has been so graceful in the past and so faithful in the past and so consistent in the past that we know He'll be faithful in the future, and we can walk in faith and assurance and joy knowing that His grace has been sufficient then and it will be sufficient from this point forward. So as we move into the new year, that our desire should be, Lord, I'm going to be fully devoted. That we're going to approach it this year, instead of this all these resolutions, we're going to say, Lord, one thing, Lord, give me New Year's renewal. New Year's renewal, Lord, I'm going to be devoted to the one thing, committed to the one thing this year that You speak to my heart. So in fact, we're going to pray that. We're going to take communion here in just one moment. But today I want our prayer to be this. Lord, what is one area I can grow in this year? What is one area I can develop in this year? In fact, would you bow your heads with me just for a moment? Dear God, today I pray that You would speak to us. What is the one thing this year that is limiting us from fully expressing a love for You? What is one area that I can grow in this year that will help me move towards devotion? And Lord, if we do it for this season of life, and we do it for next season of life, and we do it for the following season of life, then Lord, we're going to grow in wisdom, we're going to grow in understanding, we're going to grow in patience, we're going to grow in maturity, we're going to grow, Lord, in devotion to You. So Lord, I pray that, Lord, every man and woman in this room, everyone who listens online, that, Lord, You would speak to them about one area of growth this year that would help lead them further in the road and the journey of commitment. In the name of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Grace Hill is always about knowing God and growing in God. And we want to hear from you. If you have a prayer request or simply a question, you can email us at info@gracehill.cc.